You just touch the spoon to that metal thing. And that's how the rat would get caught.
It's really, like, strong.
It's very strong. Or this,
it's a packed house at a St. Paul community event. Island residents surround a table laden with trapping and tracking devices. Lauren Devine of St. Paul's Ecosystem Conservation Office shares pictures of the target.
One more cool thing to show you. Here's the rat. You can see its little beady eye, and you can actually see it move. So these were taken the first week of September with that wildlife cam right there.
Then the rat disappeared without a trace until October 21st. And that's been frustrating for Devine's office with the local tribe, which helps keep the island rat free.
I've never wanted to see a dead rat or have a dead rat in my hand, but this is very much, that's what I want. I think everybody wants to see the dead rat. They want to, like, hold it and know that it's dead.
Devine says that may sound extreme, but for St. Paul, rat prevention is extremely important.
If it's alive, we want to kill it. We want it dead. And it's not we're wishing harm on animals. It's that it poses a serious threat to our island. It's wildlife. It's sensitive habitat. It is an invasive species. It's something that would devastate the seabirds and would change wildlife life on the island forever.
To stop that from happening, Devine says ECO increased its already formidable anti-rat program after the first sighting. They added traps, changed bait, and installed game cameras to bolster the rat prevention measures at all points of entry on the island. But Devine says they've since learned that might not be the best response.
So by placing more traps or having more human activity around, we might have scared it away, you know, or encouraged it to move its home location. And so we would adjust a response in the future to that.
That insight comes after ECO reached out to the Alaska Maritime National Wildlife Refuge, which agreed the threat was so severe that they chartered a plane for a team of rat eradication experts.
So we are looking for certain barrel numbers.
Today, they're replacing rusty traps that have succumbed to extreme weather conditions.
Making sure that your biosecurity measures work is really critical. You literally have one chance to catch that rat, and you want that trap to fire when it fires.
Chris Gill works for the nonprofit Island Conservation.
Islands only make up less than 5% of the Earth's landmass, but they harbor a disproportionate proportion of endemic species, and therefore when an invasive species such as a rat gets to those islands, there's a high likelihood that an extinction could occur.
Normally, St. Paul has 43 yellow barrels to catch the rats. They may look inviting, but inside there's a trap waiting to snare the rodents. During their week on the island, the strike team refreshed existing bait stations and added other detection devices like game cameras and temporary stations. They've also brought in UV chew blocks that if the rats nibble, they'll be able to track the invader's glowing poop. Plus, the team did a lot of good old-fashioned sleuthing.
You have a number of hiding places for rats on this island, and you need to get into every single corner and every single house and every single nook and cranny in order to ensure that you have targeted every single rat on the island.
They inspected nearly every commercial building or abandoned structure around the fish plant. Refuge manager Steve Delahanty estimates the strike team response has cost about $50,000 so far, but he says that's a fraction of the price tag if rats were to take hold on St. Paul.
You'd have to add several zeros to that, probably. Well, I can't tell you how many zeros, but it would be a lot of zeros after that if you were going to do an eradication.
There's only been one island in Alaska, Howada, formerly known as Rat Island, where rats have been eradicated. That cost millions, and it was uninhabited. But for St. Paul to stay rat-free, Delahanty says success will depend on its people.
The make or break is the people who live here. It's their community, it's their island, and it's going to be their ongoing diligence and monitoring through the years to keep it rat-free. That's what will be essential.
And Devine says ECO is up to the task.
We scaled back the number of traps. We're using a deadly combo of peanut butter and bacon grease. And we are switching out all of our baits from Three Musketeers to Almond Joys, because apparently that is the most attractive bait for a rat.
Now it's a waiting game. Devine says ECO will remain on high alert through the end of November, with staff checking traps and bait stations twice a month. At that point, if there's still no sign of the rat, they'll reevaluate the risk and meet with the city, refuge, and strike team to decide how to proceed. Devine says they'd all love to have a body to learn more about the furry intruder. They could determine what species of rat it is, its gender, and use genetic testing to narrow down where it came from. But even if they never collect a corpse, she says the whole experience has been helpful in preparing for the future.
I hope we never get another rat because it's exhausting. But if we do, the education of just like knowing the employees in each entity can work together and cover a certain area or, you know, do a certain task or just divvy up the work that way has been really valuable for us to have.
And although this rat is still at large, Devine is aware of increased risks at the airport, with new flights originating from places like Unalaska that have lower rat prevention measures. She's concerned that will mean a higher likelihood of another unwanted rat visitor. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Zoe Sobel on St. Paul Island.